ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनन्तु सवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः John chapter 2, verses 66 to 70. Page 146. Nasti buddhira yuktasya, nasti buddhira yuktasya, nachayuktasya bhavana, nachayuktasya bhavana, nachabhavayata shantihi, nachabhavayata shantihi, अशांतस्य कुतस्सुकम् अशांतस्य कुतस्सुकम् नास्ति बुद्धिरयुक्तस्य नचायुक्तस्य भावना नचा भावयत शान्तिः अशांतस्य कुतस्सुकम् न अस्ति बुद्धिरयुक्तस्य अयुक्तस्य अयुक्त युक्त टू वर्ड्स यूज्ड शुड बी अंडरस्टूड करेक्टली युक्त द ऑपोजिट ऑफ इट इज अयुक्त व्हाट डज युक्त मीन युक्त मीन्स One who is centered in the self. Ayukta means one who is not centered in the self. If he is not centered in the self, then he is centered in the world. For example, you can be in front of the Lord, but you are in front of the Lord asking for something worldly. Then you are ayukta or ayukta? Don't shake your head, just answer. Yukta or Ayukta?
Ayukta.
If you are not in front of the God in the mandir, but in the world, but you are centered in the self, then are you Yukta or Ayukta? You are not asking anything from the world. You are Yukta. So Yukta means one who is centered in the self. Ayukta means one who is centered in the world, not in the self. So he says, there is neither knowledge, buddhi, awareness, discrimination, nor bhavana. Bhavana. What is bhavana? Feelings. Attitude. Meditation is also another meaning. So, there is neither knowledge nor meditation for the unsteady. The unsteady. I am reading the translation. There is neither knowledge nor meditation, bhavana, attitude, feeling for the unsteady. And to the unmeditative and to the person with who has no bhavana, there is no shanti, there is no peace. Ashantasya kutasukam. And for a peaceless, disturbed person, how can there be happiness? So what he is saying is, the most important thing is awareness, buddhi. Agar buddhi nahi hai, fir bhavana bhi nahi hai. Bhavana nahi hai, mental disturbance shuru hota hai. What is bhavana? Right perception, right attitude, right relationship. Focus. Agar buddhi nahi hai, then he doesn't have the right attitude. He has the attitude that this is me, this is mine. That means he has wrong bhavana. Means no bhavana. What is the real bhav? Real bhav is I am atma. If I am atma, there is nothing me and you. And there is nothing mine and yours. Are you with me? So the bhavana is not there. Meaning the right attitude, right perception, clarity is not there. Clarity is not there for one who lacks buddhi. The guy who lacks buddhi has no bhavana. No clarity. Therefore, he is attached. He has attachment. And a guy who's attached lacks peace, is disturbed. And a disturbed person can never be happy. That's all he's saying here. But it looks simple, but it's very deep.
A disturbed person
can never be happy. Ashantasya kutasukam. Where is happiness for a person who is disturbed? So how does the disturbance happen? Disturbance happen by losing your buddhi. And when your buddhi is lost, your bhav is different. Bhav is, I am this, Mr. So-and-so, Miss So-and-so, and this is mine, that is yours. Then comes the problem. Then when something that I believe is mine is taken away from me, then I sit down and suffer. A person, for example, in the story of Saurabhadrustam, there's a beautiful poem called Saurabhadrustam by Matthew Arnold. It's there in the poem's book. It's a huge poem, big poem. He talks about attachment of a father to the son and how they lose each other. So when Rustum didn't know that Saurabh was his son, in a fight between them, he is ignorant. He is actually craving for a son. But his wife is worried, because if I announce to him that I have given birth to a son, then he will train him also in warfield. So she didn't want that to happen. Because every time Rustum goes to fight, she is not sure whether he will come back or not, alive or dead. So she didn't want that to happen to her son. So she sends a message to Rustum when he is in some warfield somewhere, that I have given birth to a baby girl. Rustum gets so annoyed and he doesn't come back. So he doesn't even know that he's got a baby boy. So his bhav is that he's got a baby girl. Are you with me? So when later on Saurabh and Rustum confront each other in a battle, Rustum takes to warfield because he wants to find his father. So when they both confront each other, Saurabh asks, hey, are you Rustum? He says, who is Rustum? Why are you so bothered about Rustum? And he strikes him. Then Saurabh just shifts a little bit, and Rustum, you know, because of his own momentum, he goes and falls on the ground. And that gives him more anger. So to cheer himself, he says, come on, Rustum! You know. And when he listens that word, Rustum, Saurabh stands still. And Rustum pierced the dagger into Saurabh. And Saurabh, when he falls down, Rustum says, hey, you talked so much about you. You said you will only fight with Rustum. See, you have fallen by me here. He says, you did not kill me. It is that name Rustum killed me. What do you mean Rustum killed me? Yes, because Rustum is my father and you are finished. Because when he comes to know that his son Saurabh was killed, he will take revenge on you. What are you talking, man? Rustum never had a son. Rustum never had a son? Who are you to say that? I am Rustum's son. I have proof. And he shows the proof, some tattoo mark and all that. Then Rustum comes to know now his bow is different. It is now my son. Earlier it was not my son. Now it is my son.
Whole thing changes.
So when a person has no buddhi, he has no bhav. Is it clear now? It's Saurabh and Rustum story. Buddhi nahi hai, so bhav nahi hai. You are assuming that this is me, and because of that, this world is me, this person is mine, that person is mine. Today all our relationships are misplaced. I say I am a son with reference to my mother. I say I am a father with reference to my son. Every reference is outside. I don't have correct reference within. Since every reference is outside, I have no bhava. If you add buddhi, then you will have the correct reference. I am Atma. Now,
This is the most difficult.
Yes. So he says, where there is no knowledge, where there is no buddhi, there is no bhav. Are you with me? The bhav is what? All misplaced. I am this personality, this is my son, this is my father, it should not be taken away, this is my property, it should not be taken away, this is, and when it is taken away, then I feel sad. You remember that story we spoke once, a guy's house was in fire, so he was crying, beating his brother, somebody come, he called the, you know, fire station and they were all coming, he was almost finished by the time, you know. Then his son called up, "Hey Papa, what happened? House is on fire," and he's crying, you know. So he said, "Why are you crying? We sold the house last week, don't you remember? We did a sign." Quickly his tears dropped, stopped. Right? Quickly his tears stopped. But within a few minutes his son called up again. Because he clarified with the lawyer, he said, "The papers didn't get through. There was something wrong. You had signed, but the registration office was closed, so it was not registered." Something like that. So again the tears started.
Even wrong.
So in other words,
we almost bought a house in Ahmedabad, which was an apartment, beautiful apartment, and just the day we were to make the payment, Uttarayan, we don't give money. We said 14-15 Uttarayan and we gave in a day. So then the person who we had to give was traveling, and then there was the earthquake. So then after the earthquake, I told him, "I don't want to live in an apartment in Ahmedabad because it can't get sucked." So we hadn't bought it and that fell and everything. But it's not there. So I never had a chance to cry. But I'm sure that poor seller.
No, but in this example, what we need to understand is you are crying. But there is no clarity. Your crying stopped when the property was told it is not yours anymore. The moment you come to know it is mine. So what is the problem? Mine is the problem. So when the mine is the bhav now. So who are you? You don't have clarity. Therefore you don't have bhav. Right clarity is not there. That's what he's saying. Jab tak buddhi nahi hai, tab tak bhav nahi hai. You have all sorts of misunderstandings. This is me. This is my father. Supposing for a few minutes or few hours you are given access to your past janmas. So many fathers and mothers will come to your eyes, right? Imagine a guy who is brought up without telling him who his actual father and mother is, because you have adopted. And then he comes to know what is his condition. Till then he thought, this is me, this is that, you know. So like that, our bhav today is all based on the outside factors. So our bhav today is all with reference to the external objects, the world. It's not true bhav. So he says there is neither knowledge nor clarity, meditation, concentration. The right attitude is not there. The focus is not there. This word bhav can be loosely interpreted in many ways. But what it means, I suppose you understand what it means, right? The real bhav. If you have the real bhav, it will always be there. So a person who lacks intellect, lacks clarity. He lacks right attitude. So he starts having wrong attitude that this is mine, this is his, this is taken away, therefore I am at loss. But a person with buddhi, he understands there is neither mine nor his. When it is taken away, there is no crying, no sorrow. No, nothing. Because in the very first place, he had no bhav that this is mine. A guy who had in the very first place did not have that bhav that this is mine. Where is the sorrow for him? So when a son is born to you, when a daughter is born to you, you have developed the bhav that this is me, this is mine. So when they are taken away, or even before they are taken away, when there is a threat that they could be taken away, you are in sorrow. Isn't it true? So unless and until you know who you are essentially, you do not have clarity. And an unclear fellow cannot save himself. How can he save others? So therefore we say the first thing you should have is knowledge about who you are. As long as you remain ignorant about your true nature, you are functioning as a lunatic in this world. And the only saving grace is everybody is like that. When they become little violent and little differently lunatic, then they are put inside a lunatic asylum. That's about it. So therefore he says, Na asti buddhira ayukta nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shanti. Ashanti means no peace. Shanti means peace. Ashanti means disturbance. So once he has attachment, the bhav is not there. Ram bhav, you can't call it bhav. Bhav means right bhav. Wrong bhav is not bhav. So he has this is mine, that is mine kind of thoughts. Therefore, the moment attachment is there, what happens? Mind is disturbed. Till Saurabh was not his son, he was not disturbed. The moment Saurabh was his son, disturbance started. You are about to write your will. At that time somebody came and told you, this is not your true son. Would you still continue to write it? He'll say, hey, let me stop it. So what is the actual thing that is happening there? Lack of clarity about you and yours. Buddhi nahi hai. Agar you had buddhi as to who you are, then you'll have clarity about yours also. When there is clarity about who you are and yours, then there is no disturbance. When there is no disturbance, there is peace. So why does the disturbance come mentally? Because of your attachment. And that comes because of your lack of knowledge of yourself. Therefore, what are you supposed to do? First, gain the knowledge of Atma. Later on in the 13th chapter, Arjuna is asking 6 questions. What is Purusha? What is Prakriti? What is Jnanam? What is Jnayam? What is knowledge? What is to be known? What is Kshetra? What is Kshetrajna? What is the field and what is the knower of field? There, one of the questions is what? What is knowledge and what is to be known? What is to be known has to be known. And what is not to be known, better don't know. You don't understand that? It is better you don't know about the certain facts about your spouse before your marriage. But mind comes to wanting to know all those things. How many of us have the objectivity to deal with it? A lot of people, in the hope of being frank, they don't understand how the psychology works. They share with each other certain things. Right? But now that he or she had come to know about the past, are you with me? A lot of families have broken because of that. Yes or no? So there are certain things better not known. Somebody asked Swami Chinmayananda, you know. Chinmayananda is very, very well known for his humor, you know. And he talks also. He's very known, well known for his strictness and humor both. Somebody asked him, Swamiji, if we had past janmas, why is it that we don't remember them? And he said, see, it is for your good and my good. What do you mean, sir? Because if you had known the past, and supposing in the past I was the one who eloped with your wife, you will not be sitting and listening to me now. Better not to know what you are not supposed to know. But we will put in so much effort to know what we should not know. What happened? Hey, you know what happened? What happened? Why do you want to know about that? Better don't know. Huh? But you will spend time appoint somebody to know that and tell you. Because you are not able to gossip. Because you are not able to be present in all the gossip monging sessions, because 10 sessions are going. So you hire 10 people and you send them. Their job is to go here and send you mails about what they heard, so that you don't miss anything that's going on in Delhi. Because you are sarva jnana, sarva vit, you know. So you want to know everything that is going in Delhi. Nothing that goes in Delhi should be going on without my knowledge. And knowing all that, what happens? Unnecessarily you gave ear to all these things. Ear to all these things. And now you are sitting there and who asked you to eat all those things and now suffer? Somebody offers you, you have a choice to say no. You ate that, now you suffer. That's my point. What is to be known is Atma, and you have no time for that. Ayuktasya buddhi nahi hai. Knowledge is not there. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't have the right discrimination. Yes, he lacks bhav. Therefore, he is attached. Now you understand the verse. So what is to be known? It is not that you should not be contacting the world. All that Vedanta says is, it should not be at the cost of not knowing who you are. Today, our living is at the cost of, at the expense of my own self. And that is the most expensive living. The most expensive learning is what? What is the most expensive learning? When you have fallen from 10th floor or 1st floor and you've broken your hands and you learn, it's a very expensive learning that there is law of gravity. You understand? But you went to the school and learned it, inexpensive. Today our living is expensive. You are not bothered about that expense, but you are bothered about the expense that you have to go through to gain that knowledge. Because to you that seems to be very expensive. See how the ulta. If somebody is suffering from AIDS or cancer or some disease like that, and they are told this drug will save you or it will make you prolonged living or take care of your pain, would you be bothered about how expensive they are? You would somehow manage to collect that fund and buy it. Because compared to that, death is more expensive to you. Our pain is more expensive. But we don't understand it that way. Our bhav is different. Our life is an expensive living. We are living at the expense of ourselves. Living at the expense of yourself is the worst thing that you can ever do. All of us are mortgaging ourselves and living in this world. It's not a healthy living. A guy may be appearing to be earning 2 lakhs or 5 lakhs per month, but most of his money goes in mortgage. Mortgage. He's mortgaged his property, therefore he's paying back 4.5 lakhs. So basically what he's taking home is only 50,000. Other guy is earning 75,000, but he has no mortgage to pay. His stay home is 75,000. One guy is earning 5 lakhs, but he's paying 4.5 lakhs for mortgage loan. Other guy is earning only 75. Who is leading a healthier life? So we have mortgaged ourselves and living. It's not a healthy living. A guy who has not mortgaged his self, but he is not having the expensive things, expensive cars and this and that, comparatively, he is leading a healthier life. Do you understand? We don't see it that way. What kind of life are you leading, man? What is the use of leading such a life? We take pot shots. But what we don't understand is, he has not lost his self. We have lost ourselves. We are meandering. He is not meandering. But the problem is, we are looking from the periphery. When we look from the periphery, the guy who's at the center looks like a mad fellow. A guy who's at the center, when he looks, he is looking at us as mad guys. But only thing is, he has understanding and forgiving nature. Therefore, he doesn't say you are mad. But we don't have that. Therefore, we say he is mad. When you go to see somebody who's imprisoned, you are outside, he is inside the bar. But for him, from their point of view, you are inside the bar. Isn't it? For you, he is inside the bar. But for him, you are inside the bar. Exactly like that. So what he is saying in this, these verses are all very deep and very strong when you understand it correctly. Otherwise, from superficial level, it says there is no knowledge, then there is no concentration, there is no meditation, then it's all true. But deeply if you go, what he is trying to say here, when you lack the knowledge of yourself, when you are at a loss of yourself, then your bhava is, this is mine, this is not mine. Then shoka, everything comes, disturbance comes, then the whole thing starts. So therefore, buddhi should not be mortgaged. Don't mortgage your buddhi. To save your buddhi, you can give up your world. To save your... See, when doctor says, unfortunate, because of your diabetes becoming too much, a gangrene is formed, and to save the feet, to save the rest of your body, they'll have to cut off the feet, let us say. You'll say, okay, because you are more important than the feet. So the question is, what is important to you today? This is what he's asking us here. Am I more important? Knowledge about myself, or knowledge about the other things in the world is more important? But knowledge about oneself, when somebody is speaking, there is hardly anybody there to listen. But knowledge about the world, because that can fetch them millions, so people flock them. Yes or no? It's all ulta. So remember these verses. Nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shantihi ashantasya utasukam. So therefore, whenever you are going through disturbance, don't ever think that the external factors disturbed you. It is your mind running after the external world that is disturbing you. Why is your mind running after the external world? The basics have to be clear to you. The basic is, you are paripurna, you are complete. But the ignorance of your true nature creates an imaginary void in you. You have eaten to your heart's content. You have fully eaten. But after eating, you have fallen asleep. You are asleep now. When you are asleep, you are dreaming that you are terribly, terribly hungry. So even though you are completely full, your mind is thinking that you are incomplete. Therefore the thoughts run towards food. So when you are ignorant about your true nature, then your thoughts run towards the world. So to take care of the thoughts running towards the world, what you have to do? You have to start gaining the knowledge of the self. You don't have to do anything with it. If you want to deal with weakness, you have to start focusing on strength. There is nothing to be done with weakness. The more you fight with the darkness, what will happen? What will happen? Supposing you take a knife and try to cut the darkness. Nothing will happen. Instead, if you light a lamp, darkness will go away. You don't have to do anything with the darkness. You have to do something with light. So this is what he's trying to say here. You are sorrowful today, you are disturbed, and you are thinking, if only somebody put sense in my spouse, everything will be alright. If only somebody put sense in my mother-in-law. You know, people, everybody is thinking. It's got nothing to do with mother-in-law, father-in-law, daughter-in-law. It is to do with yourself. It's got nothing to do with the outside factors. It's not fighting with darkness. Like Swamiji says, one fellow was an organizer for Swamiji and a great devotee of him in some city. And every time he goes, he says, "Swamiji, we need your blessings because my only daughter is not married." And yeah, your blessing is always there, yeah. What is the problem? You know, I don't believe in these blessings and all, it's karma, but my blessing is always there. You are like my son and she's my granddaughter kind of thing. There's no problem about my blessings and all. And start doing something about getting that married rather than waiting for blessings, you know. So Swamiji has said like that, it seems. So he said, "Swamiji, you are joking, but please bless." So he says, "Okay, blessed, get lost," you know. So one day, when Swamiji was in Bombay, he had called him to say that, "Swamiji, your blessing has come true. My daughter has been engaged to somebody, and between you and me, they are 10 times richer than me." He himself is filthy rich. And he's saying, "Between you and me, he's 10 times richer than me," and all that. So the marriage is next month, but Swamiji couldn't go because he was busy or something. So he says the marriage was over and everything fine. And so next time when Swamiji went, obviously he doesn't expect the daughter to be there because she's married and she must have gone to the son-in-law's house. But daughter is there. So he thought maybe she just come for a visit or something, but she was continuously staying there. So he came to know that she was staying there for last 2 months and she's continuing to be there. So Swamiji politely asked, "What is wrong?" He said, "You know, Swami, but you said the boy is a very good boy. Everything is good." He says, "Sir, boy is a gem of a guy. He's a very good boy. But that mother-in-law is a problem. She goes on saying, this is not sent by your father. You're sitting on it." So she, everything she's talking like this. So she's so fed up and she's come. Mother-in-law is a problem. "But I'm not worried." "Not worried? What do you mean? All just with your small blessing, everything will come. Broken problem solved." "Yeah, forget about blessing and all that, yeah. Let us see if there is a possibility. Put me on to the mother-in-law, I'll speak to her. You know, there's no problem. I'll speak to your daughter and I'll speak to the mother-in-law and son-in-law. I'll get the thing sorted out while I'm here or whatever. You all can come there, I can, you know, discuss. Don't go into these blessings." "No, Swamiji, you don't know. She's already high blood pressure, blood sugar, everything. Just one small blessing of yours, everything will be sorted out." And then after 6 months, he called up Swamiji and said, "Your blessing came true." He said, "I never blessed anything like that." Means he is expecting she will die one day. Then the problem will be solved. This is what I am trying to say. You genuinely believe the solution lies outside. You genuinely believe that the solution lies outside. It is not outside. It is inside. So you can try and fight with darkness. You can replace one object with another. After some time, again the problem will start. Why? Because you are still incomplete. As long as you are incomplete, your thoughts will run towards the world. Therefore, now you should start thinking about how you can become complete. The focus should be on gaining the knowledge of the self. Verse 67. Indriyanam hi charatam, indriyanam hi charatam, yanmanonu vidhiyate, yanmanonu vidhiyate, tadasyaharati prajnam, tadasyaharati prajnam, vayurnavami vambasi, vayurnavami vambasi, indriyanam hi charatam, yanmanonu vidhiyate, tadasyaharati prajnam, vayurnavami vambasi. See, it says here, for the mind which follows the roving senses, carries away his intellect as the wind, a boat on water, carries away his intellect as the wind carries away a boat on water. In 60, what did he say? In verse number 60 he says, O Kaunteya, the turbulent senses of even a wise man while striving indeed forcibly carries away his mind. So after that he should say the mind in turn will carry away the intellect. But in between he spent 6 verses to prove the importance of intellect and the power of senses, so that don't slight on them, develop sense control, etc. So now he says, now he continues from where he left in 60. Are you with me? So he says, for the mind which follows the roving senses, the mind which follows the roving senses, moving senses means what? Outwardly moving, that carries away his intellect, buddhi. Awareness is taken away. See, otherwise, why would you say, oh my God, what have I done? Every time you're regretting, what does it mean? That, my God, that last gulab jamun I should not have had. So, when you were eating the last gulab jamun, what was happening? What was happening? What is happening?
Given to
senses.
Carried away by your
senses,
by your desire.
You were asleep.
Yes. Yes or no?
Conscious.
When you had that last gulab jamun, you were asleep. So now, regretting. Why? So when you blow up, you are angry, you blow up. Tell you, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? Then you see, you were asleep. So many actions of ours we are doing, keeping ourselves asleep. So when the senses move extrovertedly, it carries the mind away. When the mind thoughts are dragged by the senses, we saw in 62-63, buddhi is also gone, awareness is gone. When awareness is gone, you do all sorts of things. When a guy is under the influence of alcohol, a lot of people ask me, what is wrong in drinking alcohol? Nothing wrong. What is right in drinking alcohol? Nothing right. But the problem with alcohol, it takes away your awareness. What you normally would do, would not do, you start doing when you are under the influence of alcohol. So anything that robs your awareness is a not done for you, is a don't for you. Anything that encourages your awareness is a do for you. The do's and don'ts have to be determined by yourself. Mandates are not to be given to you by outside forces. Today we are living on mandates given by outside forces. The do's and don'ts set by the world. The do's and don'ts should not be set by the world. It should be set by yourself. Anything that robs your awareness is a don't. Anything that doesn't rob but rather aids your awareness is a do. So the do's and don'ts are self-made. It should be in the case of a self-realized soul. In the case of a non-self-realized person, the do's and don'ts are coming from outside. He is being led. In the case of a self-realized soul, he is leading his life. You see the difference now? So for the mind which follows the roving senses, carries away his intellect, and he gives an example. As the wind carries away a boat on water. Ocean is our samsara. Likes and dislikes are the waves. Boat is our personality. And our personality has intellect, the captain of the ship. From one shore to another, the boat is taken away carefully by the captain. So similarly, from the shore of mortality to the shore of immortality, on the likes and dislikes, our boat is going. But the captain should be vigil, and then he should be alert to make sure that he takes the boat on the right course so that it reaches the shore of immortality safely. But if the captain is asleep or weak, what will happen? the boat sinks. So this is what is giving the example. When the intellect is gone, it's like a boat without a captain. So he's saying, then the senses are handed over the power. They take the mind and intellect away, then you sink. If the senses are not handed over the power, you keep it with you. Let there be demands from the senses, but you sanction it. But if the senses' demands are themselves sanctioning it, without you sanctioning it, are you really living? You are being led. So it is like a boat without captain, being drawn away by the wind. The wind tosses the boat, isn't it? This side and that side, and topples it, and then the boat sinks. So wind is the passion. The passions within drives our senses wildly, and that passions driving senses wildly drags the intellect awareness completely, and then we go this side and that side, and then totally perish. So wind is powerful, senses are powerful, the captain should be equally powerful to handle. If not, then the wind, see, such a huge ship on the ocean is just a small matchbox. How many of, I'm sure everybody would have seen that movie Titanic, no? I don't know whether this striked you. First voyage, it sank, right? First voyage. And when they start the voyage, what does the captain say? This ship will never sink. And the very first voyage, it sank. The captain was arrogant. The ship which was built and believed that it will never sink, very first voyage it sank. And that, I don't know how many of you noticed when you watched the movie Titanic. And the captain says, like she says, this is an unsinkable ship.
Arrogance.
A captain should be objective and not arrogant.
He lost his alertness also.
Absolutely. So when that overconfidence is there, I can handle it. A lot of people say, I can handle 10 pegs, as if it's a big thing. Isn't it? I can handle it. I'll take a chance. I can handle it. I'll take a chance. I can handle it. Ego. You have to be careful every time such a thing comes. I can handle it. I can handle it. Then slowly, slowly, like the Titanic ship was tossed, sank, you will also sink. That's what it means. Beautiful comparison. You know, one of the ways in which knowledge is given is through comparison. Upama. They give an example, and few aspects are comparable. Then you understand. Something which you do not know, an example is given from what you know, and then some parallels are drawn so that you can try to understand that. So he gives the example of a boat being tossed by the wind and sinking if the captain is not strong. So therefore, what is the state of a self-realized soul? He emphasizes again in 68. Tasmad yasya mahabaho, tasmad yasya mahabaho, nigrihitani sarvashaha, nigrihitani sarvashaha, indriyanindriyartebhyaha, tasya prajna pratishtita, tasmad yasya mahabaho, nigrihitani sarvashaha, indriyanindriyartebhyaha, tasya prajna pratishtita, tasmat, therefore. See, this therefore, you must remember when we do maths problem. We write all the things step by step, and then finally we say, therefore LHS is equal to RHS. Right. means you followed step. Logically, you went about, and then now you are arriving at a conclusion. So here Krishna is coming to a conclusion, where he says, therefore, after explaining, therefore, not before, therefore. Therefore means explanation logically done. Now conclusion is being drawn. O Mahabaho, O mighty armed. There is an interesting taunt here. Mahabaho means what? Mighty armed. Which is a reference to whom here? Arjun. Therefore, O Mahabaho, O mighty armed. You are a mighty armed fellow. But do you have your senses under your control? If you do not have your senses under your control, what kind of a mighty armed are you?
Like every time
they
use Krishna refers to the different names.
It's very significant. Mostly it is very significant. So mighty armed. It's also, you know, sometimes when you give knowledge, you have to use this psychology to praise that fellow. You can do it, you know. Then that fellow will sit down. If you, you know, it's interesting. Appreciation, a word of appreciation, it's like when you put sugar in, if you are emptying 1 kilogram sugar into a container which can take 1 kilogram. By the time you have come to 3/4 of a kilogram itself, it's full. Now what do? You take the dabba and shake it a little bit. That is what appreciation is. You understand? Little bit of appreciation, then he says, okay, give me more. Huh? So Krishna does that also. He's an extremely good psychologist. Krishna. He knows, see, in communication, 95 to 99% is psychology. Only 1% is message. Straight away, if you go to the point, then it may not get through. First, what do you do before you slide the piston into the cylinder? Take an emery sheet, remove all the flakes, then oil it, then you let the pipe just goes in. Isn't it? So, lubricating. So, psychology is lubrication. How are you? What is happening? Ekao, okao. Now, okay, ab batao. You understand? That is communication. See, I have come for this. What nonsense, get lost. You understand? Communication is 95% psychology. Packaging. Krishna knows it very well. So he says, oh Mahabaho, mighty armed. Are you truly a mighty armed? Think about it. One who has conquered himself is Mahabaho. That's why I keep on singing that bhajan every now and then in the class. Ham to man ki shakti vena मन विजय करे दूसरों को जैसे पहले खुद को जय करे. This is exactly what he is also meaning. Therefore, O Mahabaho, you may be a great commander in chief. You might have won many battles, but have you conquered your senses? Does your senses listen to you? Lot of people are bosses only in the office. When they get back home, either it is their wife or husband, sometimes servants. In some house I go, don't say anything to her. Where the servant goes away, they're so scared to get another servant. Yes or no? Outside that fellow is a big boss. He's running 100,000 crore business. Inside he's afraid of servant. You understand? Or a small child. Wherever, you understand? Our wife or husband, somebody else is the boss. But everybody is terrified of him in the office. Terrified. And he is terrified to the servant. This is the situation. Many places I see, more than the wife, they are afraid of servants. You understand? Because if they are not there, they are finished. How do you run a huge... I mean, you can't run a, you know, there's so many things to be taken care of. Otherwise, you can't be doing it yourself. You've put your life, you've organized your life in such a way that you're dependent. Please understand this. In fact, I would say you've not organized it. You've disorganized it. That you are dependent on so many things. If the devil is not there, you go, this fellow is not, why do you want to complicate it? So in other words, what you've done, you've created your own stress factors.
Yeah.
So many things you are dependent on. Why do you want to take more than what you can chew? Who told you to take more than what you can chew? As in you are now suffering. Then you are saying, somehow stress relief management course should take me. Stress relief will tell you, assess your capacity. You put yourself in dependency category, and then obviously you will be stressed. Because they will not tell you whether they are going to come to work or not tomorrow. And they have no problem. There is too much demand, right? And there is too, because so many people have become dependent. But so many people have become dependent, they are the bosses. Because the day they leave your job, they get another job. 10 people are waiting, either out, either out. This is the thing. You know, have you ever seen this? When you are working in an office, you can apply for leave. And you are very scared. 8 days ke baad, if I apply leave, maybe I will be thrown out. So I will be thinking twice. You know, I will be talking to my boss and all that. I work from home. It's a very unique American concept which has come in India also now. I'll work because I don't want to lose it, right? But servants, have you ever seen they have any problem? Suddenly they'll go out for 1 month and then they'll come and look in front of you. Where were you? Some story they'll give you. Can you ever do that? I'm asking you. Do you have the guts to do that? So what is it? Have you ever thought about it? They know for sure they are in demand.
Yes.
Because you know, this guy is so indisciplined, but he's very loyal. You see, you know that this guy may be indisciplined, but he's very loyal. He will not add more salt in your food, which makes sure that your blood pressure is maintained. I'm not even going to the extent of putting poison there. Are you with me? He's trustworthy. So what you'll do? You'll shout at him. He knows. She will take me. You understand? He has no choice. She'll take me. So he will be putting, I'm sorry, this thing. So you'll also shout and you feel that you've really given nicely to her. Chalo, kal se aja. You understand? So what is happening? Mahabahu. Are you really the Mahabahu? Now you see the taunt of Krishna when you hear the word Mahabahu. Huh? O Arjuna, therefore O Mahabahu, his wisdom is established whose senses are completely restrained from the sense objects. Completely restrained from the sense objects does not mean completely denied from the sense objects. We have discussed this time and again, so I am not going in detail with it. I hope you would have understood by now. Senses are completely restrained from the sense object. Otherwise, he is not a man of perfection. The profile of a perfect human being was asked by Lord Krishna, by Arjuna. And Lord Krishna is talking about profile of a perfect human being. And the profile, he says, only main point is, his senses are under his control. He's not talking about how many businesses he runs, how many people salute him. He's not talking any of that. There is no reference with reference to the outside forces. But the only reference he gives is sense. If his senses are under his control, he is a Satapragna. If his senses are not under his control, he is not a Satapragna. When you bring up your children, if their wisdom is not established, giving them wealth, is it good for them or bad for them?
Bad.
But what are they doing? Because they are physically grown up, you give them some wealth. What are you doing? You are basically destroying them. Like Adi Shankara says, artham anartham in the Bhajagovindam. Bhajagovindam is also a beautiful text. Only has 31 verses here. Sometimes when we go for a retreat or something for 3-4 days, we can do such topics so that one full thing can be completed there. So Bhajagovindam, he says, artham anartham. Artham means wealth. Anartham is calamitous. Wealth is calamitous. It's like saying electricity is calamitous if you do not know how to handle it. When the electrician will come, he will not even switch off the mains, because he knows how the electricity functions. He is handling it. We get electrocuted even when it is switched off. That is our unbelievable talent. You understand? Unparalleled talent we have to get electrocuted even when the electricity is not there. Lot of people imagine that they were poisoned by snake and they are taking medicines. It's a fact, you know. The biggest problem is not the disease, is the belief in the patient that he has the disease. I don't know whether you come across somebody like that. I have come across. Somebody thinks there is some problem in his heart. Genuinely, I'm telling you. So he goes and checks with all the doctors possible, and they are putting in all the medicines, I mean all the tests and everything. All test results are saying there is no problem, but he is believing that they are not able to find out. What you can do? There is no cure for them. In such cases, doctor will give some sort of medicine so that the fellow is happy. They call it as placebo, no? No, there is placebo medicine, which means there is no medicine inside. It's just for the satisfaction of the patient. So, in other words, only when your senses are controlled by you, if they are under your control, you are a man of perfection. Nothing else. Sitapragnasya kabasha samadhistasya keshava sitadikim prabhaseta kim masita vrajitakim. All that Lord Krishna, all that Arjuna asked, he says, one thing, if you understand, it's enough. What is it? Therefore, sitapragna is one whose senses are under his control, whose senses are restrained from the sense objects. When he is arrived home, his mind is not in a chakkar. Sense control means when you are here, your mind is ruminating over the sense objects. Restrained from the sense objects means senses are not ruminating over the sense objects. Isn't it? Then he is a siddha prajna. So what is the definition of a siddha prajna? Sense control. What control can you talk about externally when you are not able to control yourself? So who is actually a leader? A leader should be first be able to control himself, no? When he is not able to control himself, what kind of a leader he can be outside? Did you ever think about that? Leader means one who has control over himself. He is able to control others, but when it comes to him, he is not able to control. That means what? He will someday become a wrong example. When he becomes a wrong example, there won't be any followers. A guy who is not able to control, that is why they say, you know, a leader, like you hear stories in America and everything, they were going to impeach the president, etc., because he was not having control over himself. Before you can become a president, once you are at the podium, then you become the example for others. At least in those countries, they have more value for that. Isn't it? But if he had lacked sense control, somewhere he buckles. He may not buckle for a pencil, he may not buckle for a pen, but if the same pen is a Mont Blanc pen, maybe. He may not buckle for a car, but if the same thing is a Rolls Royce or a Benz, maybe. So to that extent, he cannot be a leader. So the first and foremost quality of a leader is what? Having control over oneself. जितना कंट्रोल आपके ऊपर आपके पास है उतना कंट्रोल यू कैन हैव अगेंस्ट वर्सेस अदर्स, अदरवाइज यू आर नॉट अ लीडर. लीडरशिप शुड स्टार्ट फ्रॉम यू विद इन, नॉट फ्रॉम विदाउट. That's why a lot of these leaders who were controlling many people committed suicide. What kind of leaders are they? Hitler committed suicide, no? Is he a leader? What kind of a leader is he? Leader means not just one who commands power over others, but one who commands power over one's own senses, one's own mind. When one's own mind doesn't listen to oneself, who else will listen? Nobody else. So tasmat, having explained very slowly, steadily, from 60 onwards, now in 67 he concluded, and 68 he is concluding, because of these steps. See, this is how thought comes, and thought will lead to desire, desire will lead to anger, anger will lead to delusion, delusion will lead to loss of memory and intellect, you will collapse. Therefore, again, every step was explained like he was talking to a small child. And then now, tasmat, therefore. So therefore, the explanation is logical and following the reason. It's not a dictation that Lord Krishna is giving and asking Arjuna to follow. After explaining thoroughly, he is now concluding, therefore practice sense control. And all of us, before gaining control over ourselves, we are trying to control certain empires, others. See, the starting point and ending point is you only. The starting point and ending point is you. Vedanta is with reference to you. Because a guy who lacks self-control can fall any step, isn't it? Initially he may not be tempted, but eventually he will fall. So if you are giving wealth to somebody who lacks sense control, it's dangerous. See, at least a poor guy, he has desires, but he has no opportunity. If you have desire and opportunity, then it's worse. Are you with me? This is what is happening in a lot of places. They have desire, they have opportunity, so they play with senses. And when they play with senses, they don't realize. Slowly they destroy themselves. And when they slowly get exposed, all the respect and things that they commanded leaves them. And when all the respect and this thing left from them, they become like a vegetable. They are so depressed. But how did it all start? They did not have control over themselves. Such a powerful fellow Ravan was, isn't it? Indra and Kubera used to come and wait in front of Ravan. That was the power of Ravana, according to the Ramayana. He could command such power. And why did he fall? He lacked sense control. People go after wealth, people go after relationships, people go after knowledge. Hardly anybody gains the knowledge of the self. External knowledge, Ravan gained the knowledge of Vedas, but he did not gain the strength over himself. That is why he fell. So who killed Ravana? He killed himself. Ram did not kill Ravana. Ram was only an instrument. Ram is not a serial killer, going on finding out who else is there to kill. You understand? So Ravana killed himself. Such a great Ravan fell for one weakness of his senses. What kind of a leader is he?
This is struck me. This is really hits you when you look at it this way, the Ramayana. You always think of Ram and his victories and this. But when you look at Ravan, focus on Ravan and why he failed.
I think that way it is the focus on Ravan actually, more than Ram. It is a focus on Ram also, it's Ramayana basically. But if you see, Ravan is very, very powerful villain. The most powerful villain ever created is Ravan. He fell, he could only fall because of his own weakness. There is nothing else that outside can follow. If Ram had fought with Ravan, then if Ravan did not have this weakness, he would not have fallen. That's what they're trying to show. So a lot of us, this is what we need to understand from Ramayana. Such a powerful fellow like Ravan, a big leader like him, fell because of his own senses, weakness for sense. Nothing else. So without developing capacity, see, it's like this, you know, a lot of people are driving who have no control of a car. Truly speaking, they don't have control of the car. You can see it from the way they hold the steering wheel. Once you have control, you are relaxed. A lot of people are driving their life not so relaxed. So, which means you lack self-control, sense control. And you are running a huge business, huge empire, running a big family, so many things. So that is why I said, life should not be at the cost of self, it should not be at the cost of sense control. Because you may have everything, like it is like you've locked all the doors, but you kept one window open. Thief can enter from there. We discussed that, remember, when we talked about verse 60 and 61. One window, if you keep open, it's enough for the robber to enter, thief to enter. So if one sense you have weakness, that is enough to finish. So before you come to limelight, before you come to leading your life from the front, you need to educate yourself about this and have control over your mind. This is true education. But how many of the people who come out of schools and colleges today have the capacity to make sure that their senses are under their control? So what is happening? Today if you see at the age of 20, 25, because of this, computer industry coming in. What do you call them?
The IT, tech.
Yeah, basically this. BPOs, the call centers. The guy just passed out of 12th, or just because he can speak some good English, he's given some training, and his salary is huge. You understand? He has no sense control of anything, and he's seeing money. You see the vices that is happening now. Suddenly, India is facing this problem, right? Countries like India has BPO because labor is cheap here. Labor is expensive in America. So the guy over here is talking to the clients in America, talking to the clients in Australia, and he is given so much money. And suddenly at that age, when he has no sense control, but so much money, what will he do? He'll go reserve. He doesn't know what to do. This is what is happening today. So every day he must change his mobile phones. All sorts of things. He has to make sure that the hair is now start growing inside, not outside. All ulta, you see. Because he's got so much of money. And mind is so turbulent. What will they do? They have access. It is playing with fire. And from the country's point of view, this needs to be tackled. Otherwise, these are the people who are a big problem for the society, right? So this, without thinking, if you allow such things to happen, See, you need to educate the person. See, before you can go and be a part of the nuclear plant, some basic things need to be told to you, no? And when you sit in the flight, they basically educate you. How to wear the seat belt, this thing, oxygen mask, etc., etc. Where is the exit, all that. Without that, and all the more you are given everything like on a platter, what will happen? At least in the olden days, it was not that in the olden days they were better. They had desire, no doubt, but there was no opportunity. See, India, before that market opening, India after market opening, suddenly you think Indians have changed. Nothing has changed. They had the desires, everything, but they had no opportunity. Now the internet has given plenty of opportunity. The computer revolution has given too much of opportunity. And the economy opening up has given so much of opportunity. It is great. I am not saying we should not open the economy. But along with that, we should have made them educated. In that point of view. If that is lacking, then you are creating ravanas for yourself, for the society. This is the problem. Suddenly, people are not able to handle, parents are not able to handle children. Why? Because there is internet explosion. Before you need not have spoken to your children, you might not have told certain things, that's fine. But now, with all this in explosion, now things have changed. Yes or no?
Yes.
So therefore, this is what we need to learn. Before a thing comes, you need to educate them how to cope up with it. See, the roads have been made. Fantastic roads. But the roads are cutting through the village. The villagers were living happily moving around. We have gone into the village. It's like we are actually gone into the forest. Animals have not come into us. Think about it. We have gone into the forest. We have invaded that. Similarly, in the name of civilization, we have invaded the villages. And no training has been given to the villagers. They have been going in their bail gadi. They have been walking around. They are not used to the signals and this and that. So obviously they will be moving around like that. You have gone inside. Now you have bisected the village. This Pune-Bombay highway, before Pune-Bombay highway came, I was studying in the ashram. But we used to go like easily now. Now because of this Pune-Bombay highway, now the things have changed. Now people have got used to it. But what I am trying to say is, educate. Without educating, if you bring in modernization, it will be chaos. I am not saying modernization should not happen. You have to grow. Modernization is a must, but not at the cost of education of that. How to adapt to it? How to, handle that? A sudden flow of wealth, and not everybody is educated as to how to deal with it. This is what happened. Lot of villages, the land cost went up, shot up. So they simply sold, few acres. And they are multi millionaires. But hardly any education. So they just now they have access. They could have a car and their ego is driving the car, not themselves. Are you with me? Many times I've seen a guy is driving, not driver, but he is himself driving a BMW 7 series car. He's smoking inside the car, he presses the button, window opens, and he is doing like this. He's putting the ash on the road. Educated guy. Is he really educated? He doesn't want to put the ash inside his BMW. Think about it. What kind of education is this? So in other words, most cases, we are not training the inside. We are exposing, we are so enthusiastic to expose ourselves to the outside. Before you expose yourself to the outside, you must develop the capacity inside. Then you can handle it. If you have not developed that capacity inside, you cannot handle it. We'll conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.